when you approach a new person or you're trying to build that relationship, set your business goals aside and just approach as trying to build a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I mentioned at the beginning, we as humans need a human connection, and whether or not that person you're talking to is going to be a business relationship doesn't really matter. You can still add value to their life just through a human relationship. Yeah. And maybe you make no business, you know, deal out of that connection, but at least you have that human connection. At least they have that human connection.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy to understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today. Hey, welcome back, Pillars of Wealth Creation listeners. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me on this hump day hustle, as always, is John Stiles with Bridge Realty. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Todd. It's a great day to be alive. What about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic, enjoying our amazing weather. This is like the best time of the year when the temperatures drop, our humidity drops. It's just beautiful outside. So enjoying that. Looking forward to Labor Day weekend. We're going to go see a bunch of friends that we went to college with. My wife and I ran distance cross country and track. And so every year, Labor Day weekend, we've got an alumni cross country race that we get together. We still got like a bunch of people from our era always show up. So it's really cool. It's a lot of fun to go to. And we reminisce about how fat we used to be fast. Most of us, there is a race. Most of us aren't very fast anymore. The ones that are my age and older, most of my close friends are my age and older. And so most of us aren't very fast anymore. So some of the guys that are younger, I'm friends with a few of the younger guys that came in after me. And some of those are, the guys are pretty fast still. So it'll just be fun though. It's a good time to get together. Most of us, especially the group that I'm close to, have kids, and a lot of kids the same age. So there was a kids race too. So we'll see how that goes. My daughter will do it. My son, I think, will do it, but you never know. Last year he like started racing and he got scared and started crying and stopped racing. So you just don't know.
A few years, you're going to be out there with your rocker and be like, oh, I'm still going.
Yeah, right. I feel like that sometimes, but hey, you know, I'm still young. I still got plenty of time to, yeah. They'll have a wheelchair race before you know it.
Yep.
That'll be fun. You got anything fun going on for the Labor Day weekend?
Well, I had a closing this morning.
Oh, that's fun.
And that's
always so you got great. Plenty of money to spend now on Labor Day.
Blow it all.
Blow it all.
Or not.
Yeah, right.
And speaking of, so by the time people hear this, it'll be after Labor Day, right? So, but just spending time with family and getting some projects done around the house and, yeah, nothing cool. Too extravagant.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Well, cool. Let's move on. Why don't you introduce kind of the topic we're talking about?
Yeah, we wanted to just go into the topic of networking and kind of specifically networking for introverts, because I think a lot of us out there, including myself and Todd, I think you can partially agree with
like this. I'm like kind of in the middle. It depends on, I don't know, it depends on like the day, it seems like. Sometimes I'm really, I'm an introverted extrovert. Is that such a thing?
Yeah, I think I would be somewhere in that category.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of like you were saying before we started recording, you know, when you go to a networking event, you know that you should be out there talking to people, meeting new people, making great relationship connections, but the natural tendency might be to kind of sit back and kind of wait for somebody else to initiate the conversation. And so just kind of discussing the situation and what you can do kind of to proactively think through this and get ready for a successful networking event.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily even a networking event. It's just straight period network, like getting to know people. I don't know if I like the word networking because whatever. It just sounds awkward to me. You know, going to a network event is just awkward. You don't know anybody and you're trying to. So just getting to know people, right? Because that's really important in any kind of business. It allows for opportunity, potential opportunity. Collaboration, you know, just meeting people, whether they're going to be your investors or they're going to be your business partners or they're just going to be a good relationship to have, period. You know, mentors, whatever it is, it's just good to get to know people in the industry. Plus, I mean, you know, connections and having that feeling of connection and bonding is just an important factor in life. I mean, you're going to be a lot happier if you have friends versus no friends. Most people, at least, some people might not like people. I don't think we're talking to any of those. So it's important, right, to be able to get yourself out there and get comfortable in those situations. It can be hard because here's my scenario, right? I go to I'm going to the Minnesota Real Estate Investors Association or any association. And I go there, I show up late, right? Because, and this is what I do almost every time. I show up late because I don't want to be the first person there. I want to be one of the last people there because that's just how I am, right? So I want everybody to be there. So I show up and I kind of go into the room and walk around and pretend like I'm kind of busy. Everybody else is in their groups and I kind of scan the room and I walk around, pretend like I'm busy. I put my stuff down and kind of shuffle around. And a lot of times I'll go and like find a person I know already, right? And talk, hey, how's it going? And talk to them. And then hope that either somebody comes into our group or they introduce me to somebody. And if that doesn't happen and then we fizzle out on a conversation, then it's, again, I go back to my area and I shuffle some papers around or whatever and act like I'm busy. I do that quite a bit and that's like my fault for doing that, right? And not always, but it's just kind of the way it is. And I think there's plenty of people that can like associate with me, whether they do the exact same thing or not. They go into a networking event, they see all these people and they just aren't like, they know, hey, I should be talking to people, but it's just a little harder for them to get into that group and feel comfortable. Do you associate that with that, John?
Yeah, to some extent. I think, well, first of all, let me back up here and just say, you know, I think that humans need a human connection.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a tendency, I think, more and more in our society where we live on our screens and we live in our nice little communities.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't really talk to our neighbors much. You know, we're not, I don't know. I think our society has changed where we're just naturally more inward focused.
We've got these outward platforms like Facebook, like LinkedIn, like, you know, podcasts. Right. However, it's an outward platform that gets your ideas out there that you can hide behind a screen and do. However, you're not getting that face-to-face interaction. I mean, anytime, honestly, you feel some connection when you're listening to somebody on a podcast or on the radio or TV or whatever. You feel some connection there. But when you can meet them face-to-face, that's when the real connection happens. I mean, the second you can shake somebody's hand and look them actually in the eyes, as corny as it may sound, that's when the real connections can happen.
Right. So, and since our society has become like that, I think we kind of have to break the mold. We have to intentionally mm-hmm. get out of that habit. And like you said, like social media, there's so many, you know, fights that happen on whether it's politics or some other parenting or whatever, pick right. the topic, and people can say whatever they want to say once they're on Facebook.
Right.
On Twitter, that's especially the one that people just yelling at each other or whatever. But would they have the same exact conversation if they were face to face and had to see the facial body language reaction? You know, I don't think the conversations would be any, the same. So yes, that's kind of why getting out there to a networking opportunity is really important, to be there personally and start meeting people face to face.
Yeah, absolutely. And that behind the screen, you know, some part of me says, well, that's good because then people actually can get their opinion out there and they don't feel intimidated. Because when you're face to face, sometimes people feel intimidated, like they can't hurt anybody's feelings. But if they're behind the screen, they don't care if they hurt feelings because they're behind a screen and nobody can actually look at them and, you know, punch them in the face or yell at them verbally. So they just, you know, do it behind a screen. So that's maybe good to an extent, but it's also can be damaging as well. So face-to-face is definitely the best interaction and the truest interaction. I mean, you know, I get investors that reach out to me because of either this podcast or being on other podcasts or whatever, but I always have a phone, minimum of a phone conversation with them. And I really like to have like a face-to-face conversation. So right now I've got quite a few investors that are kind of in the Bay Area. And my goal right now is within the next 6 months, I'm going to fly out to San Francisco and I'm going to put on a couple networking events. And I'm just going to try to meet as many of those, you know, investors / potential investors as I possibly can, because I think that's really important. If you are thinking about putting money into one of my deals, I would personally enjoy meeting you. And now people do deals without meeting me, but at the same time, it's just much nicer when we've already met, when we know each other, when I can shake your hand and you can just feel that sense of connection with the person you're doing business with. I mean, obviously, you're not always going to be able to do that. I've got investors from not every state, but a lot of different states. I can't fly to every single state, but still, it's just nicer to have that connection. So anyways, so how do we go about, let's just call it, we're going to this conference. The reason why I thought of this topic is because I mentioned it last week. I was at the Rod Cleef conference and he put that on, and there wasn't tons of like setup networking, which is, Rod did a fantastic job. I'm not trying to put Rod down at all. He did an amazing job at his conference. I thought it was really good, full of energy. Rod does an absolutely great job. But the one thing that was missing, in my opinion, was the networking aspect, because he He had so much content. He was just throwing the content out there and out there and out there, and he didn't have enough breaks. And the breaks that happened were just like, go to the bathroom, come back. We want you back quickly. What I like is that, you know, we've got this conference and we're going to have a break and we're going to purposefully set up networking groups on those. And there's conferences that do that. And so it's great to meet people. And even in Rod's conference, I met a lot of people. So it was really good. So for going to the conference, we know nobody or maybe know a couple people. How do we go about networking? And that, I think that's almost the most dangerous part, is if you know people, if you're introverted and you know people, that can be the worst thing, because you're only going to talk to those people that you know oftentimes, and you're not going to meet new connections. So how do we go about making new connections purposefully at a conference? What do we do?
Yeah. Well, one thing I would say is, if you have the chance to organize an event like that, to think through this ahead of time and to think about those people who are introverts, who aren't going to step out there and initiate the conversation. But if you can, you know, not each breakout session has to be like this, but if you have at least one breakout session where you give the questions that should be asked, like, go up to one person, ask them what's their favorite thing to do when they're not working. I don't know. You could come up with a list of questions,
right?
How long have they been in real estate or whatever, you know, specific convention you're going to or whatever it is.
Yep.
You know, a couple of 3 points that you prepare the conversation with. And then if you've set it up and everybody has that expectation, then it's not so awkward, like, oh, who should I go up to? What am I going to say? What are they going to think? You know, everybody has the same expectation that you're supposed to go up to X number of people and you're supposed to ask these questions. And that's kind of just like the icebreaker. Hopefully the conversation and relationship can go much deeper than that.
Evolves, right.
So you have to leave room and time to go beyond that. But at least if you as an event organizer can prepare and set the stage that way, I think that can be very helpful.
And actually suggesting that to event organizers can be helpful as well. Say, hey, I'm looking forward to your conference. This is been successful in the past. Would you consider doing something like that? Might actually, you know, be a good thing to do. Not necessarily will they do it, but if they have the opportunity to, they potentially will if they like the idea. I went to the Best Ever conference last year, and that was set up a lot like that. They had a lot of breakout sessions, and they did it purposefully. They, you know, if you're interested in multifamily, go to, you know, this whatever area, follow this flag. They had a person that would like carry a flag and bring you over there. If you're interested in self-storage, go here. And then they had other ones where, like, they actually broke you up into, if you live or invest in this region, go to this spot. If you live and invest in this region, go to this spot. And so they did like different types of breakouts, but they always, maybe not always, but most of the time they had you purposefully in a group and to try to create those connections, like you were saying, and on certain topics and things like that. So it was just easier to talk about those things and network with the people you wanted to network with.
Yep. And then if you're going to something where maybe they don't have that already, you can still prepare yourself. You know, there's kind of like a mind game that can go on ahead of time. You know, first of all, make sure you're in a positive mood. You know, whatever negative things may have happened, you know, put those in their place.
Get sleep.
Get sleep the day before.
It's always hard networking when you're trying to keep your eyes open.
Right.
Or yawning every other minute when somebody's talking, you know, yawning at them is the worst.
Right.
By the way, I'm guilty. I've been there.
Yeah. When you're traveling, especially, you gotta plan ahead for that.
Yeah.
You can't always control it too, but do what you can. But that's why you gotta, you know, start your day right with getting your mindset correct with that.
Yeah.
And then prepare a few questions, you know. And I think I'm naturally an introvert, so actually read a book a while ago, long time ago, just about small talk. You know, how do you have small talk? And I don't remember anything from the book, but just
it's a great book.
Yeah, it's a great book. I think it's easier for me now. Now that I'm older, you know, I can talk about kids. I can talk about my job. I can talk about, you know, my neighborhood or, you know, something. It was harder for me as a younger person with not as much life experience and
business experience.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, you just have to kind of grow into that and kind of find something to overcome it.
Yep. Well, one of the biggest things to me is asking questions. Always be asking the other person questions and never, you know, don't talk about yourself unless somebody asks you about yourself. And even when they do, always try to revert it back to them. Always try to associate with them. So the more you can associate with the person you're talking to, the better that's going to be. The more you can ask them questions and prod into them, the better it's going to be, the more connected they're going to feel to you. You have plenty of time to talk about yourself if you make a real connection with somebody. The other thing I think is really important is not to try to focus on connecting with too many people. If you've got a breakout session and it's 20 minutes long and you only connect with one person, that's perfect. If you connect with two people, that's fine. If you connect with 10 people, you did something wrong. I'm serious. I mean, if you're trying to connect with that many people and you connect with one person each for 2 minutes only, I think you did a very bad job at networking. That's not your goal for networking. Now, I think that's what a lot of people try to do. We talked before the show about Joey Torkelson, and he talked about, you know, that you're the business card ninja. You know, you're throwing out your business cards. You're trying to meet as many people as possible. And that's not going to create a real connection, because there's people that get your business card that goes in the bad pocket or that goes in the garbage, and they don't, even if you reach out to them on LinkedIn or Facebook or anything like that, they don't know who you are. They might feel obligated to connect with you, but it doesn't create a real connection. And when you meet them, you know, 6 months or 2 years down the road, they're not going to remember who you are. They might go, oh yeah, you know, but they're not going to remember you. So creating that real bond, that real connection, like I said, if you've got a 20-minute breakout session and you meet only one person, I think you did a great job.
Yeah, and then I think it's a lot about the follow-up after that.
True, you know, yeah.
You only go so deep in that 10 to 20 minutes, and there's so many distractions, and you're going to learn, especially if you're at a conference, it's like, you know, getting the fire hose of information. So you're going to forget whatever it is you just talked about with them. So when you do make a good connection, you do see somebody that you feel like you could connect deeper with, follow up with them. You know, hopefully you can meet later for lunch, for coffee. I know, again, being an introvert, I find it much easier to talk with somebody one-on-one.
One-on-one, absolutely.
Even if it's a group of three, I will most likely sit back and let the other two people, you know, guide the conversation.
Yep, you're the listener. You're not the one that's leading it.
Right.
Yeah.
But then if it's just one-on-one, I feel a lot more comfortable to take the lead and ask questions and kind of dive deeper into, oh, tell me more about that, and learn more about them as a person.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's great. And for me, I would say I'm introverted up front. And then the second I get comfortable, I'm very extroverted. That's my extrovert thing going on. Because the second I get to know you, or the second I feel like we've made any kind of connection, then I'm completely open, and then we can talk for 10 hours. But just that first introductory meeting. So one thing that's been benefit to me, like at this last conference I was at, I was on a panel. Okay, so I think if you can somehow create yourself as being an expert, whether you're hosting the conference, somehow put yourself into the room as a person that people want to come talk to you, that's going to create a ton of value, because already now people want to come up to you. You don't have to worry about going to them. So if you can create that, that's going to add a ton of value to you. When I was up on that panel, I got down from that panel, I had I had a lot of people surrounding me and wanting to talk to me. And it was actually, I had to leave that night to drive back home. And I didn't leave until super late because I had so many people wanting to talk to me. And that only happened because I was part of a panel and because I positioned myself as an expert. And so if you can do that any way or fashion, be part of the conference, maybe help out in the conference, something, somehow get people to see that you're, in charge or you're an expert or, you're involved, you're going to have a lot more purposeful interaction that way as well.
Yep. Now that's a great example. One thing to kind of add to that, like you mentioned, there's other ways to get involved, even if you're not right. The expert on the panel. I know that I used to go to a networking group on a weekly basis, and there were several people in the group that had specific roles. We had a president, a vice president. We had a membership committee. We had, visitor hosts, and we had, all these different roles so that, you have a purpose for being there and people have a purpose to come up and talk to you about your role, which, it's not specifically about your business, but it facilitates conversation and your relationship can build from there.
Yep. Yeah. And volunteering to be part of it, being that guy, if they've got like a Q&A session, being the guy who has got the microphone, people will come talk to you before and after that event because they know somehow, they just perceive you as knowing more or being involved more in this, so they want to be around that. So yeah, it doesn't matter what it is, be involved in it in some way, shape, or form, and you're likely going to get a lot more interaction with that for sure. Hey, I want to interrupt this episode real quick to talk to you about Nate Armstrong, our sponsor. Nate Armstrong, he's with homeinvest.com, and you want to get to know Nate. So go to homeinvest.com and just connect with Nate. Talk to him. Learn about his operation, what he's got going on. He's a turnkey provider, and it may not be right for you, but it could be the perfect fit. So it doesn't hurt. It's a free call, free consultation, just to figure out, what they do, what they have to offer. And worst case is you're going to meet a great person who's really well educated in real estate. He's done a ton of different real estate strategies and probably he's going to teach you a little bit, even on a short conversation with him. So go to homeinvest.com and connect with Nate's company. You're definitely not going to be disappointed. It's worth it. So thanks. And we'll get back to our show. Anything else, John, that you think you do that helps in this kind of topic?
Yeah, actually two different things come to mind, and not necessarily that I'm doing this 100% the right way, but if you can approach
it. No, see, but you are the expert, and the experts are the introverts. The experts aren't the extroverts. So that's why we're trying to tell people how to do it. If you're an extrovert, you've already stopped listening to this a long time ago. Because you don't even need to think about it. You just go to an event and like people attract. My son, man, I guarantee, like right now he goes to any event and everybody surrounds him. I don't know how or why. He's 5 years old and the freaking world like surrounds him and wants to be around him. And he just has to like laugh at everybody's like all over him. So some people have that, other people don't. Yeah. And so we're not talking to the extroverts right now. So that's why we're the experts. Well,
so what I was going to say is that when you approach a new person or you're trying to build that relationship, set your business goals aside and just approach as trying to build a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned at the beginning, we as humans need a human connection, and whether or not that person you're talking to is going to be a business relationship doesn't really matter. you can still add value to their life just through a human relationship. Yeah. And maybe you make no business, you know, deal out of that connection, but at least you have that human connection. At least they have that human connection. So yeah.
If you approach every interaction that you have as this is somehow going to add value to my life, whether it's in business, whether it's personal, whether it's a simple introduction to somebody else that's going to have a good relationship. It doesn't matter. But if you treat every connection like that, like this is somehow going to add value to my life and I'm going to be able to add value to their life, you're going to have a lot more success than if it's maybe this person is my next business partner. Maybe this person is my next, I hope they're my next investor. And then when you talk to them and you find out, you know, they've got $1.50 in their name, then you're disappointed. Well, it's because you went about it trying to get something out of it. You shouldn't go about it trying to get something.
Right.
Naturally, things happen. It's so funny how many people I talk to. I've talked to people before and made a great connection with them and had no freaking clue they had a dollar in their name. And all of a sudden they're wanting, and this is, I had it where I talked to a guy, we talked for a while, we made a great connection, this was at a conference, stayed in contact a little bit, and now he's invested a pretty sizable chunk of money in one of my deals. And I had no clue. I can't even think he would be a potential investor. Like that didn't even cross my mind. And yet, that's actually quite a few of my investors. Never crossed my mind that they would invest in one of my deals. And I'm not approaching it like that. I don't even approach it as, like you said, you don't approach it as you're going to do business with them. It's just, look, if we can make a great connection, if we can get to know each other, somehow it's going to benefit me. Somehow it's going to benefit you. And so if you approach it like that, I think you're going to have a lot more success.
Yeah. And if you're doing the opposite, I think people will see right through it.
Yeah.
Come across salesy, and people don't like to be approached by salesy people.
Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. Never, I think it's awkward when you, I think it's awkward when you either ask to do business with somebody right away, like, hey, this is what I do. Are you interested in it? Like, that's awkward to me when people do that. It's also awkward to me when people say, I'd love to help you out, blah, blah, blah. And it's the first time I've met them and I have no clue about who they are. And it's, you know, it's not like they meant it in a harmful way. So I'm never like offended by it. I'm never mad at them for it, but it's just like, I don't really know what you're good at. Don't ask me the first time we met if you can, you know, help me. Let's build a relationship and then let it evolve and evolve into that. I think that's better approach than being too upfront and, you know, with somebody like that. Yep. And it might work for some people, right? It just doesn't work for me because I need to know a little bit about you. I need to be able to trust you. And then I'm happy to work with you if it's a fit, you know? So it's kind for somebody to offer help, but it's also difficult to know what they're good at and know if it's a fit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then just the other point I wanted to mention is I think that we can deepen our human relationships through shared experiences. So it's one thing to go to a network meeting and then talk about business. But, you know, how deep is that really? But if you know, like when we're kids, we're in sports together and we're good friends with our teammates, or maybe in choir, or, you know, whatever those different extracurricular activities are. But what do we have now as adults that we're doing for fun, where we can interact with other adults and, you know, have deep relationships?
Yep. Yeah, I agree. And that's why I think it's really important to be asking questions. I met a guy at the last conference that, you know, his kids are in hockey. He played hockey. He's from Canada. And I love hockey. Like, that's my favorite sport probably by far. And so we had that hockey connection. We talked about hockey more than we talked about real estate. You know, and that's not the only thing that interests me, but that's, you know, people that have that connection, it's always nice to know, you know, if somebody likes to hunt, well, okay, great. Now we can talk about that. If, you know, and what happens if you don't have anything in common with them? Well, I find that hard to believe. You don't have anything in common with them that you can talk about, because you maybe both have kids. You maybe, you know, both went to college. You may, you know, there's got to be something that you can connect with. If there isn't, you're probably never going to be friends anyway. But yeah, usually there's something that you can have in common that you can connect with, and then you can, you know, continue that conversation. So. Mm-hmm. Well, cool. I mean, I think that's good. Again, just get yourself out there. Make sure you're making connections. You never know what a connection can lead to with people. Like I said, it could just be as simple as they like you. Maybe they'll never do business with you, but maybe they introduce you to somebody else that's really powerful in your life. Maybe, you know, who knows? Or maybe you can help them out a certain way, and it's going to make, you know, a big impact in your life. So you never know. Making those connections are really important. So when you're at networking events, try not to be the guy that comes in, shuffles his papers and looks busy, and then scans the room and pretends like, you know, pretends like nobody's there.
So. Sounds good. And one other thing that you kind of alluded to earlier is that, you know, take the opportunity to introduce other people to.
Yeah, for sure.
Because like you mentioned, you're just hoping that somebody would introduce you. Well, do that for somebody else. So, I don't know, just one more thing.
Hey, one thing I wanted to mention, John, I wanted to talk about this a little bit today on my podcast. I've talked about it before. I had a contractor. I'm selling one of my single family houses that was a rental for probably since 2011 or so. And I need the thing painted, and my current painter is really busy, doesn't have time for it. So I've been calling other painters, and I got another painter to go over there, and he was going to paint the house, and he wanted a down payment. And I said, well, look, I'll pay for the paint, but I'm not going to give you a down payment. He said, well, then we don't have a deal. I can't go into your house and paint it without a down payment. And I said, well, it's just labor. You said it was only a 4 to 5 day job. I'll give you payment once you're done. If you need, and he even told him, look, if you need payment earlier, I'll meet you over there when you think you're halfway done, and I can give you at least a third payment so you can, you know, continue. And I said, I'll give you, you know, we can sign a lien and, or not a lien, but a contract that gives you lien rights and all that kind of stuff. Nope, he needs a down payment. That's it. He doesn't do business unless he gets a down payment. And I just finally just had to say, look, we're not going to do business with each other. I'm not going to give you a down payment for labor, especially for a 5 day job. Just not worth it. Why? You know, his excuse was he pays his guys every single day. I don't want people on my in my property that you have to pay every day. So I didn't tell him that because I just didn't want to be, you know, disrespectful. It was just, hey, you know, sorry, I'm not going to give you a down payment. So we ended up splitting or parting ways and not doing business with them. But just to me, something that I want the listeners to know is I would never give somebody a down payment for labor because Well, why would you, have you ever worked for a company that's given you a down payment before you started to go to work for them? I don't think so. I think most companies don't, they'll make you work for at least 3 weeks before they give you your first paycheck. You know, they're usually a week behind on the, on that. So I would be very hesitant to give anybody a down payment on labor. Pay for the materials if you want, but pay directly on those materials and then walk away if they say they won't do it without a down payment.
Yeah, I think it's a tough conversation to have for some of us, but it's important because there's so many chances for you to get burned, especially if you don't know this contractor. You know, they can just pay in and walk.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And what's their incentive to start working? You already paid them. What's their incentive to start working? What can you do about it? You know, can you bring them to court? Sure. You bring them to court, but that's going to cost you more time and money than it's really worth typically. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they just walk away with your money and you're done and you wash your hands and lose, you know, $2,500 or whatever it is. I don't know. It's not worth it. That's the importance also of getting multiple bids, you know, get 5, 6, 7, 8 bids, whatever you need to get. And I should have had that conversation, frankly, up front with this guy before he even went to the house. That would have saved us even more time. But I didn't. And so that's a lesson for me is make sure, and oftentimes I do. Usually I try to say, this is our payment arrangement. This is what we do. But I didn't with this one. I just needed to get the paint job done. And basically, this guy was all set up to paint and then he wanted his down payment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's deciding who's in control of the situation. Obviously you want it to be a win-win situation. But either the contractor is going to set the rules and you're going to live with it, or you're going to set the rules and you're the employer. I mean, they might not be your employee, but you're hiring them to work on your property. And you need to set the rules.
Yeah. And a lot of people will say, well, you know, I've gotten burned like that before and I need payment, blah, blah, blah. And here's what I would say is, look, let's sign a contract and give you lien rights onto my house. And that way we're fine. We don't have to worry about anything. If we sign a contract and you've got lien rights onto my house and I don't pay you, you can file a lien. You know, worst case is if you really like the person and you want them to do the job, show them a proof of funds. Show them that you got money. Show them the line of credit. Show them whatever you're going to be able to pay them with so that they know that they're going to get paid. But, you know, think about it this way. If you're doing a construction loan with a bank, the bank does not give the contractor a down payment. The bank works on draws. Mm-hmm. And so if a bank is doing it, why wouldn't you do it the same way? Why wouldn't you work on draws? Always work on draws. Either pay them when the work is done or pay them partial while the work is being done. But you shouldn't be paying that down payment. So
that's good word. Try to stick to that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're good. We can call it a wrap, man.
Sounds good. All right. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, John, you too. And don't forget, make every day Saturday.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20. And if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. Episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone.
They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today.